Here at the International Biomass Conference and Expo, I'm speaking with Bob Dineen, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. And Bob, this conference itself is only 4 years old, but how important is the role of biomass in general to the ethanol industry?
Well, it's all biomass that we're processing. I think it does show that the industry is going to continue to grow and evolve, and we have to be here to understand who the players are going to be and what direction they think they're moving, and talk about some policy issues that will help them and just learn.
And one of the first things that we heard here at this conference, we heard the administrator of the Energy Information Administration talk about the forecast for cellulosic ethanol for the use of biomass and in next generation ethanol. What do you think about his comments and what he had to say?
Well, you know, as typical EIA, they tend to marginalize the role that biofuels generally and ethanol specifically play today in our fuel system and could play in the future. You know, they tend to hide the role of ethanol by discounting it on its BTU basis, by throwing it into all fuels as opposed to just looking at the important role that we're having in the gasoline market today. And even beyond that, masking the impact even further by looking at the quadrillion BTUs of all energy used in the United States. So now you're masking the impact by bringing in all electric and power generation as well. So, I mean, at the end of all the number crunching that EIA does, you're left with a pretty pessimistic view of what grain ethanol can do for our nation's fuel supply and energy security. Now, tells me after the session when I called him to task on that a bit that, you know, it's all just a function of the numbers and it's really hard to discern how much ethanol is being blended into gasoline today. And I was, no, it's really not. We have 133 billion gallon gasoline market and we are producing more than 13 billion gallons of ethanol. And yes, we are exporting a little bit, 400 million gallons. But, you know, you can do the math and you can see that we are blended in more than 90% of the nation's motor fuel supply. We represent 9%, not 1% of the U.S. Transportation fuel supply today. And EIA would do their agency credit and do the consumer a great deal of benefit if they would just be a little bit more careful in how they run these numbers.
Now, speaking of gas prices, we talked about gas prices hitting an average this week of $4 a gallon. And last week, RFA came out with their figures on how ethanol is helping to keep gas prices a little bit lower. And this week, CARD at Iowa State University confirmed that a little bit. Talk a little bit about that, how ethanol is helping to make the pain at the pump a little bit less.
Well, it's having a tremendous impact, which we already knew, you know, anyway. We can sort of run the numbers that we did. What was great about the CARD study, though, was that, you know, here's an independent analysis, two universities, University of Iowa State and University of Wisconsin, taking a look at this issue and concluding that last year, ethanol actually reduced gasoline prices 89 cents a gallon. I mean, that's a huge impact. And over the course of the past decade, it has had a consistently beneficial impact of, on average, 25 cents a gallon. I mean, in today's market, your consumer is saving $800 a year as a consequence of ethanol blending. And if you were to eliminate the ethanol that's blended into gasoline today, because while Mr. Newell can't seem to grasp it, we are blended in almost 10% of the nation's motor fuel supply, it would have a devastating impact on the fuel markets today. And instead of $4 a gallon, you'd be paying $5.50 or $7.50 a gallon of gasoline. So the impact that our industry is having on consumer gasoline prices is significant.
We also talked about one of the questions that they had for the leaders of the organizations here was, what are your priorities? You had two, and that was education and certainty. Could you explain that?
Well, you have 100 new members of Congress that all that they really know about biofuels in general and ethanol specifically is what they may have read from the pages of the Wall Street Journal. And while that is a wonderful publication, their depth of knowledge of farmers in general and ethanol is pretty light. And so we've got to educate 100 new members of Congress. We've got to educate staff that is constantly turning over. We've got to make sure that they are understanding the beneficial role that ethanol plays in our energy security, in our food security, and most certainly with respect to consumer gasoline prices. And so we'll do that. Beyond that, certainly looking at policy that can provide some sense of certainty to our industry and what the rules are going to play. You know, let's make sure that we are keeping the renewable fuel standard. Let's make sure that we are getting tax policy in place for the long term that is beneficial to existing producers and future cellulose and other advanced biofuels producers as well. That certainty is needed by everybody today. When you're trying to go to a bank for operating capital or to a bank to build a new facility, the uncertainty in energy tax policy is incredible. So, you know, we want to build on the success of getting the extension of the excise tax exemption last December. We heard the message. We know we've got to reform that policy. We know that we've got to be promoting something that is more fiscally responsible and fiscally sensitive to the budget crisis that Washington, D.C. is facing. I think we've found that, and I challenge any other energy industry to step up to the plate as well and say, hey, we can reform our tax incentives as well. I don't see the oil and gas industry doing that. I see them spending millions upon millions of dollars in national ad campaigns to defend their existing tax incentives, even though corporate profits are through the roof, even though, you know, certainly the taxpayer doesn't need to do anything more to encourage the continued reliance on petroleum in this country. But, you know, the U.S. ethanol industry is stepping up.
Well, another thing that came up, of course, that continues to come up is food versus fuel. As we see corn prices going up again, ethanol is once again being demonized as the cause of the higher prices. But you had some things to say about that, especially the role of, besides higher energy prices, but also the role of speculators.
Well, without question, people need to take a much broader view of what is driving food inflation today. And the single most important cause is skyrocketing energy prices. But the second most important cause is the role of speculators in the market. Today, those hedge funds with long positions on grain supplies actually control more corn than the entire ethanol industry will use in a year. So, I mean, that's having a huge impact. There are other factors as well, ranging from the value of the dollar and exports and weather and rising demand, but those two, skyrocketing energy and increased speculation in the marketplace, are what's driving food inflation today. It's not the demand for grain used in ethanol production.
Thank you very much, Bob Dineen, here at the International Biomass Conference and Expo in St. Louis. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.